Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So I can't play.
But you walked the course.
So I walked the course. Morning, it was so cold and rainy.
We tee off at 7:22. Supposed to be a gorgeous day here in the Mid-Atlantic. By the second hole, it starts to rain.
Yeah.
By the time we got to snack bar 8, Dad has left the golf course. He picks us up on the back 9, and he has a towel draped
enormous
over
towel.
His shoulders like a shawl.
Yeah.
Just a prayer shawl as he's wandering the rough.
Yeah, that was...
Waving hello to maintenance.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So we have actual sports to talk about today, and we can lead the show in the way that we used to lead the show, absent most of the people who would sit here. But Michael Kornheiser is here, 6 feet away, socially distanced properly, at Uncle Benny's table. Uncle Benny still being the code of Johnny O for those people who want to shop and get a discount. And I'm going to start just with a couple of emails. And then get into the sports. This is from Mike O'Brien from Boston, formerly Revere. My girlfriend and I watched the last segment of PTI tonight, and she asked what was wrong with the old guy with the old man hat sound. I said, well, there hasn't been a problem with it until the last couple of days. They don't know if it's the cable company, which is Comcast, the equipment, or ESPN's fault. He's basically on an iPad that Tracy has to throw together because the equipment he usually uses is from Azzurro, and it's spelled A-Z-Z-U-R-R-O. It doesn't work. Daryl from Comcast came over to his house, but don't worry, he had gloves and masks on and said everything is okay on Comcast's end, but hopefully somebody will come by from Azzurro today. Don't worry, his face isn't swollen. It's just because he has to be so close to the iPad. Sadly, I don't think my girlfriend got all this information because she just walked out of the apartment mid-explanation.
Very
That's
complete.
A perfect explanation. And Azzurro won't come. Azzurro is so confident that their equipment is perfect that they don't feel the need to come over and check the equipment.
We got to respect the confidence.
Yeah, okay. So we're on the iPad again yesterday, which is disastrous.
But surely
thank
your production
God Tracy's
team
here.
Is taking care of this, right?
No, it's no, there's nothing. No, we're not. We don't know what's wrong. Yesterday, I went to sit down at 4:23. And at 4:25, the camera went out. Just went out. And what are you going to do? Well, what you're going to do is you're going to use the iPad. So thank God Tracy was here. Also, our best wishes to Steve Tuss, who is going to undergo some surgery today, and who said to his grandson, who asked what his grandson said, well, what are you going to do? He said, and this is a quote, no different than any other day, listening to Tony, of course. I will listen to Tony's podcast till I pass out. Well, there you go. That's really good. That makes me happy. Steve Tuss, good luck. Sports. There's local sports, and there's national sports today. The local sports I will be rather quick with. The Washington Capitals, after firing Todd Reirden, who was their number one assistant under Barry Trotz, and 2 years in a row got to the playoffs but failed to win, they fired him. That was a pretty quick hook on a guy who got to the playoffs twice, but they went out in the first round 2 times. And in hockey, hockey's crazy. They fire people 5 days before the playoffs start when you're in the playoffs. Crazy Lou Lamoriello fires everybody all the time and always wins Executive of the Year. The Vegas Golden Knights, the most successful franchise ever in terms of expansion, got to the finals the first year, got to the playoffs last year, were on their way to the playoffs this year, fired Gerard Gallant after about 50 games. Just fired him. Put in this guy, Peter DeBoer. Just, you know, that's what they do. Well, the Capitals hired Peter Laviolette. And if I'm not mistaken, and Nigel, you know a little bit more about hockey than I do. Peter Laviolette at one point was on the United States Olympic team or maybe even coached the United States Olympic team. But I think he was an older player on the United States Olympic team in Lillehammer. I believe that's true. But Peter Laviolette has coached 5, 6, 7 teams for 4, 5, 6 years each time. And Peter Laviolette has won the Stanley Cup. I think he won it with Carolina. They never had a guy who won the Stanley Cup before. And I think it's a good hire, right, Michael? It seems like a good hire.
Sure.
No nonsense guy. That ought to work well.
Yeah, and to continue the cast
story.
Like
Davey is a nonsense guy.
The guy who walked, staved off elimination in double OT last night.
Last night, and is still active. Took over a terrible team that hadn't made the playoffs in a while and Barry Trotz and beat the Capitals. And I think that resonated badly on Todd Reirden. I think people said probably he's a traitor or something crazy like that. Laviolette is a good hire. I watched the Nats last night till my head exploded. They're terrible. they may be, and I'm not saying this for laughs, they may be the worst, this may be the worst season ever by a team that won the World Series the year before. It may be the worst ever. They are in danger of being the worst team in the National League by record. They're in danger of that.
And the worst is if you watch, which we do, and I have to admit, I actually I turned away last night, middle of the game. This is not one of those 1931s. If you gave them another 60 games in the back,
and they stink.
No, they would dig an even bigger, deeper hole because this offense takes every single pitch.
Okay, they have people who don't belong in the majors. Keboom had a bunch of hits last night, but I'm not sure he belongs in the majors. Garcia doesn't belong in the majors. I'm not sure Robles still, but he's a great fielder. He strikes out all the time, and he strikes out looking so often. You know, Eric Thames, he's useless.
He's a sunk cost.
Yeah, Anibal Sanchez at this point, he can't pitch in the majors anymore. It's over. And he was a wonderful pitcher for a long time. They're terrible.
Took a no-hitter deep in the NLCS.
Yeah, and Beltway Mitteron wants to come back with this squad next year. If I get the deciding vote, it's going to be no. It's just going to be no. Now let me get to the most exciting stuff, which is the basketball playoffs. The Boston game, which I watched in its entirety, was a wonderful game. By the way, when Boston loses, Nigel, you're a Boston fan, aren't you, Celtics fan?
I am indeed. Love the Celtics.
Yeah, when they lose close in the playoffs. They lose in overtime. They lose on an unbelievable shot with 0.5 seconds to go. They lose close. Yeah. And they lost close last night. And they had their best player driving to the basket to win the game in overtime. And Bam Adebayo of Miami. Miami's a sneaky good team. And a sneaky deep team. They're deeper than the Celtics. Bam Adebayo blocked the shot. Clean block. Can't complain. And no, Miami, which was down by 12 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, took it into overtime and then won the game. Miami's got Dragic can play. Jimmy Butler's the best player on the court. And this kid, Tyler Hero, who couldn't even start at Kentucky, if you give him room, yeah, and he also had about 9 or 10 assists, he can bury shots from anywhere. Miami's good. Boston's good. Miami's good. You know, they're good. That's a good series. And that's not the headline. No. The headline today is the utter historic collapse of Wilbon's pick to win the NBA championship from day one because they had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, the Los Angeles Clippers. Steve Ballmer went into his very, very deep pockets and pulled out hundreds of millions of dollars for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Now, I never thought spending money on Kawhi Leonard was a bad idea. Kawhi Leonard has been the finals MVP for two different teams that won rings. San Antonio and, I think, incredibly last year, Toronto. You know, this will hurt. Kawhi Leonard's performance last night in a Game 7 will hurt him, but it will not carry over very long because he has a history. Doc Rivers, who was already the first coach, and I like Doc Rivers. Wilbon loves them because they grew up in Chicago, of course. Doc Rivers was already the first coach in NBA history to twice lose when up 3-1 in the playoffs. Nobody in NBA history had done it more than once. Doc did it in Orlando, and Doc did it with the Clippers, I guess. Or maybe he did it with some other franchise. Maybe, was it Boston? Did he lose 3-1 with Boston? Because he won a championship with Boston. Nigel, did he lose in Boston by 3-1?
I don't think he did, but let me check on that.
You ought to check that. Well, now it's three times, because they were up 3-1, and they had a lead in Game 5 of 16 points, and they had a lead in Game 6 of 19 points, and they had a lead in Game 7 of 12. But this is Game 7. This is why you spend money on Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who nicknamed himself Playoff P, and then came up with this in Game 7, 4 out of 16 and 10 points. He makes $40 million a year. 4 out of 16 and 10 points. One free throw means he didn't bother to try to go to the basket. Kawhi Leonard, 6 out of 22 and 14 points. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined to start the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter of a Game 7, 0-for-9. This will not stick to Doc Rivers. And it will not stick to Kawhi Leonard. It will stick to Paul George. He's a loser. He's like James Harden in the playoffs. It doesn't matter what happens. He's going out before you think he ought to go out. He is a stone-cold loser now, and I can't wait for the PTI show today. Can't wait, like Bart Scott would say. Can't wait, because Wilbon thinks that Carson Wentz is a dog, an overrated, overpaid dog, and I don't disagree with that. But he loves Paul George personally, and Paul George is an overpaid dog at this point. He's overrated. Am I wrong on this? Game 7, a historic collapse. Denver, by the way, is the first team ever to come back from 3-1 twice.
I hope your camera works today.
You know, I mean, Paul George, come on. You nicknamed yourself Playoff P, and in a Game 7, you went 4-for-16 and gave him 10 points. And he's got a history of this. He's got a history of doing this. Even Carmelo Anthony at one point said to Paul George, "You sure you want to give yourself that nickname? Are you sure? Because that puts all the pressure on you in the world, right on your shoulders." Timmy Bontemps is going to join us. I just want to talk to him about the bubble, but I have to talk to him about Paul George. Is this defensible? Nigel, is this defensible?
It's happened, three times now with Doc? I love
Doc. I'm talking about Paul George. Doc won a championship, though.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Does he have any rings? I don't think he does.
No.
Kawhi Leonard has two rings.
Yes. Playoff P is one of the worst nicknames you could possibly have in a situation.
Self-described. Self-described.
Yes. Doc Rivers, by the way, did it one other time with the Clippers.
So with the Clippers.
And twice now with the Clippers. Yeah.
So he won a championship with the Celtics. He's got a ring.
Yes.
Kawhi's got two. You know, if this was the third time Kawhi Leonard had done this, you'd say something. It's like James Harden. James Harden... He disappears in game sixes or sevens when it's on the line. He doesn't win. You know, I can think of another guy great in game six, not much in game seven locally. But Paul George has a history of this. It's not just once. And well, I want to hear Wilbon. I'm just going to say, Mike, go defend him. Defend your boy. Defend him.
By the way, some other stuff on Rivers. Holds the record for most game seven losses with 8. Oof. That's not particularly great. No other coach has
But it means you get
5.
There.
Yeah, no, it's true, but you'd like to win a couple more of those.
I like Doc.
I love Doc Rivers. No, I think he's great, but this is just tough to have on your record. He also has lost an astonishing 6 playoff series after his teams have had a 3-2 lead. So,
yeah,
he's got some trouble closing out. He can get you a tea time at Bel Air.
Yeah, he's at Bel Air today. He's out with Uncle Big Al today. Oh, boy. All right, let's get out of here. Timmy Goodtimes, Tim Bontemps, will join us when we return to talk about life in the bubble. It is Tim Bontemps who apparently, according to Brian Windhorst, when he checked in, the check-in desk clerk said, "And we have you here for 78 nights." I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Hey, everyone. This new world we're living in has me and my family talking a lot more. I mean, we're talking about everything from how much greater was the greatest of all time than today's greatest, to how to make sourdough bread, to football starting up again. It started up. Come on, get a new copy. And trust me, that last one's important. I can keep watching my dog prance around the yard with a mouthful of Frisbees all day, but I guess most people would rather watch football. Yes, that's new copy. That's a new line. Hadn't seen that before. That's good. But despite how talkative we all are, the people at Lincoln Financial want to point out the one conversation that most people still have not had, and that is about your financial plans. So do find time to talk to your loved ones about it, because the more we talk, the better we plan, protect, and retire. That is why Lincoln Financial is here to help you. Get the right questions to start your conversation at LincolnFinancial.com.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song called Gone. It's performed by Will Stamp. And we got a letter from Colin Powers that reads like this. "I feel ashamed to say that after being a faithful and dedicated PTI fan for years, I only recently was able to become a loyal little while living the quarantined life, working remotely from home. This couldn't have come at a better time to keep me company over the last few months in my personal one-bedroom attic. As such a big voice in my life, I wanted to introduce you to another and one of my best friends, Will. When we were roommates, we had opposite schedules. As I often rushed home from PTI, he'd be working on his music, playing or editing, Our schedules only allotted a little time for us to chat or hang out, and most of that was me hanging in his home studio, listening to him practice and fine-tune his music as a lead-up to him leaving for work and a lead-in for you and Michael on PTI. This is called Gone, subtitled Running Away. This is good.
It's lovely.
Lil Stamp. He's got an album out called The Birthday, the Happy Birthday EP. Very nice. Very nice. We'll play his music later in the show as well. We bring on Tim Bontemps from ESPN, formerly of the Washington Post, and before that of St. Bonaventure University. And I want to talk about life in the bubble, because he's been in the bubble for a whole bunch of days now. But before I do that, we have got to talk about the Clippers last night in one of the historic gags of all time, led by the self-named playoff P, Paul George, 4 of 16, 10 points in a game 7, and combined with Kawhi Leonard to go 0 for 9 at the top of the fourth quarter in a game 7. You watch basketball more closely than I. Can you recall a bigger gag than this?
No, Tony. There is not a bigger gag in, I think, NBA playoff history than this performance by the Clippers in this series. I mean, if you go back and look at these final three games of this series, the Clippers are up by 16 points early in the third quarter of Game 5. They're up by 19 points early in the third quarter of Game 6. And they're up by 12 points late in the second quarter of Game 7. And not only do they lose all three of those games, they lost by 20 points last night. Yeah. And they didn't make a basket until there was 4 minutes and 58 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Not one basket for the first 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. I mean, I was sitting and watching the game last night just laughing. I was just laughing at the utter ineptitude of this entire team.
They go down in the second half. In the second half, they're down 50 to 33, down by 7. This is a game 7. They have paid hundreds of millions of dollars for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And what I said earlier, Tim, was that Kawhi Leonard has 2 rings and was the finals MVP 2 times, including last year, an astonishing win, I thought, Toronto. And I don't think this will stick to him. And Doc Rivers, I know, has now lost more than any other coach in history when up 3-1. This is the third time he has done this. Nobody else has done it more than once. But Doc Rivers has a ring. I think it sticks to Paul George. I do. What is Paul George's reputation in the playoffs?
This sticks to everybody. I mean, you're 100% right about Paul George, right? Paul George, last night, declaring that this wasn't a championship or bust season for the Clippers. Clippers have traded every first round pick they have until I think Bootsy is in high school. Right now to win a championship right now. This was a championship or bust season for Steve Ballmer, who was sitting at the game last night watching and did not look very thrilled with the way the second half played out for his team. I mean, but this sticks to everybody. I mean, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George combined to go 10 for 38 last night, while Jamal Murray goes for 40, and Nikola Jokic does a triple-double, and they lose in Game 7. And again, it's not even that they lost in a fluky series in the bubble. They were up double digits in all these games. I mean, I cannot describe to you how bizarre it was to watch this team just implode in each of these games. It was the same thing. They take a lead, a big lead. You think, all right, they're going to, take care of business now. And then the Nuggets will go, all right, now we're down 12 or 15 or 19. We're just going to turn around and come back and win the game. And, they just completely demolished this team last night. And, for people who aren't huge NBA fans, this doesn't happen in the NBA. You don't have a team like the Clippers that are, basically the consensus pick to win
title. Yeah.
Just completely implode. I mean, this isn't a football game where you have, one day and things get messed up, or you have a hockey goalie get hot or a baseball pitcher get hot. This doesn't happen in the NBA. So, I mean, I think this is an all-time choke job. It 100% sticks to Paul George. I think it's going to stick to Kawhi Leonard. It's going to stick to Doc for sure, like you said. He's got 3 blown 3-1 leads.
Yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, it was incredible to watch. It really was.
One other question, then, looking forward.
Yeah.
Does this help or hurt the Lakers? I'm sure the Lakers must have thought it was the Clippers, and the way they have played them this year indicates that they really want to beat the Clippers. Does this help or hurt them?
I'm Tony. This is a huge thing for the Lakers. I mean, LeBron James, you know, you could go back through time and say that, you know, he was hurt by the cap spike in 2016 to have Durant go to the Warriors and had injuries, you know, to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love the year before, right? You could go back and say there were different points where he had some bad luck. Well, the seas have parted for him.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, you look at these playoffs now. I mean, look, I don't think it's a fait accompli that the Lakers are going to win the championship, but there's no question that they are now the clear favorites to win. And
okay,
if you without Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks in the mix, without Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers in the mix, I mean, yes, I think Denver is a tough team. They've proven that through these playoffs, somehow still playing when they could have been swept in the first round. And the Heat and Celtics are really good in the East. But, you know, LeBron is the clear favorite to get a fourth ring, which is not something I anticipated saying in these playoffs. And
I'm rooting for him because he'd be the first guy to do it with three different franchises. Kawhi Leonard could have been, but now LeBron still can be, and I would root for him. Let me get to the bubble. You've been in the bubble. How many days? Do you have a calendar where you're Xing out days? How many days have you been in there so far?
Well, the calendar is in my head, and I have to say, people have I've probably had a dozen people or more recite back my own story that you've retold on the podcast. Yeah. After
we have you here for 78 nights. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So.
It was that was definitely a jarring thing to hear. But today is day 50, actually. Exactly. This is the 50th day. Been in my hotel room here at the on the Disney campus.
What is daily life like in terms of restrictions? I mean, I understand you can't leave, but are there green pastures where you are, or have you become sick of it?
I'm not back on the farm on pastures yet.
Okay.
I have a pretty monotonous life, I would say. I mean, I wake up every day and I work out, I go for a run, I come back, I sit on the patio outside and I do work for a few hours, make phone calls, write stuff, and then I take a shuttle bus over to the arena and I watch whatever games there are that day. Today there doesn't happen to be any games, so I won't be doing that, but I go over and watch games and then I come back and then I do it again. I've done that for basically 50 days in a row.
Okay, so let me be specific about some things, because
yeah.
I'm sure you feel physically safe, because I've talked to people from other teams who have left the bubble who felt physically safe there. But do you engage with other people face to face? I mean, or are you leading a solitary life?
Well, I should kind of explain my situation, because I'm in a very bizarre situation even compared to the bubble people. So there's people who are in the bubble, right? Like Woj and Malik Andrews and Rachel Nichols. They're all in the bubble.
I'm
bubble adjacent. So
I'm
bubble.
That's
adjacent.
Not bubblicious.
That's right.
Fantastic.
So I'm in the second tier. So I'm allowed to go to the games and watch the games from the stands, but I can't interact with people in the bubble. So I can't like physically talk to coaches or players. I could talk to them on Zoom calls.
You can't wander over to, say, even Rachel Nichols and say hello because you're in the adjacent bubble. Do you have a badge that says adjacent? It's so great.
There's a badge. I have a yellow a credential. I couldn't get the word out of my mouth. I have a yellow credential, and they have green credentials. So when you walk around the Wild World of Sports campus, there's like there's barriers erected, and on one side is the yellow side, and the other side is the green side.
It's like being in an internment camp. This is fantastic.
It has been the strangest 7 weeks of my life, for sure. So, like, I'll be walking on one side of the barrier, and, like, Adrian or Rachel will be on the other side. And we will, like, wave and say hello and, you know, talk, walk along the thing and talk for 2 minutes. And then they'll, you know, they'll go their direction, and I'll go my direction.
They'll laugh at you. They're laughing at you. You know that.
Yeah,
they're laughing
sure.
at you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, it's...
Tim, you can only interact with people with green credentials. You have to eat with the greens. You can't eat with the yellows.
No, other way around. So I'm yellow, so I can't.
Okay.
There's their own. I have my own. Dave McMenamin from here at ESPN is down here with me and a couple other people, and we have our own eating area. We can't eat with them. Can't be around them. Can't talk to anybody in there.
This is so great.
It's a truly bizarre existence all the way
around. How often have you been tested? They get tested every day, right? How often have you been tested?
They get tested every day. We get tested twice a week. Every Monday and Thursday.
They basically don't care if you come down with it. They'll just ship you out at that point.
I think initially they weren't going to test in this tier at all. And then when the virus got much worse down here before things started, things changed a little bit. But we're in a
closed hotel. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're in a closed hotel. They're testing twice a week. To go back to your question earlier, I do feel safe. There is some people in this hotel interact with each other because we're all getting tested and we're here. But it's kind of in the middle of nowhere on the campus, so there's not really anything to do. There's a golf course.
Are you allowed to play golf with the greens, or do you have to play on the yellow course?
Yellows get the bad
times. The course here is good. I haven't played, but I've been told the course here is very good. I haven't had a chance to play. Breen has gone and played among other people. And it's supposed to be good. But other than that, I mean, there's a golf course and there's a restaurant or two with a hotel. And I go for a run outside. But otherwise, there's not really anything to do. So you just kind of, you go go eat dinner with people. And then you go sit and work and go watch the games and then do it again the next day.
How about the broadcasters? How about Breen and Mark Jackson and guys like that? Are they green or yellow?
They're yellow. So we're all at the same hotel, all the broadcast people. So like I went to have dinner one day and, Mike and Ian Eagle and Kevin Harlan were all at a table, which is a pretty cool table since those guys are all usually all at different events, never all in the same place. One day I was walking to go for a run and Jeff and Stan Van Gundy were sitting at a table having lunch, which is a odd thing to see. All the broadcasters from TNT and ESPN and then some league people who are in the yellow tier are all at this hotel.
Are you either angry or jealous? I mean, what is your personal feeling about this particular hand of cards that you've been dealt?
In what sense?
Well, I mean, you're yellow, it's obviously it's a caste system here. There's no question about that. Are you okay with it? I'd really like to be green. I'd like to be green, like Kermit the Frog. Yellow for caution and green means go. I'm glad there's probably a red credential. You're not allowed anywhere. Not allowed in the state of Florida.
Red means get out like the Clippers. Get out and go home. You have to leave. No, look, I feel very fortunate to be down here and working, especially in an environment, as you know, as well as anybody, where a lot of people are not working.
That's right.
I feel very fortunate to be here. I mean, it is I can't describe to you what it's like being at these games with, 100 people and no fans. At these games, I mean, it's just incredibly surreal to be at these games and watching this stuff with basically nobody else. And this is a hopefully singular experience that won't happen again and won't have to happen again, hopefully. So,
can I tell you as a viewer, Tim, the hockey and the basketball, I am not upset with no fans. I think they've done a good job with the virtualization of fans. I can live with it in baseball, though it's odd. Football is terrible without fans. Football is the one sport affected most. Right?
I noticed that over the weekend, yeah. I mean, I've told the people here, obviously we both work for ESPN, but I think that the broadcast, both TNT and ESPN, have done an incredible job.
Yes.
Game. I mean, it looks like I've had a lot of people who are home say to me, hey, I feel like I'm watching a game at basically any arena. You know, I mean, I think they've really done a terrific job with it. But yeah, no, look, I'm not just saying this. I feel fortunate to be here, and it's, you know, it's been a really cool assignment. I mean, yesterday I went and saw the Heat and Celtics play an epic overtime game, and then I walked 200 yards and I watched the Clippers have the ultimate gag job of all time in the same day. I mean, it's been pretty neat to be here for it. And like, yeah, obviously I would be able to do different work if I was in this green tier and could go interview people in person. But at the same time, it's been kind of a fun challenge for me to come up with ways to do my job in a different way than I normally would, because you're not going to press conferences and stuff. But like I've described to people, you know, in the Truman Show, when Jim Carrey walks out of the sky at the end of the movie, I feel like I'm the light person at the top of the sky, like working on the light bulbs at the top, looking down on the show. That's kind of how I've described my my daily situation to people here. Because I'll go to these games, I sit in like the second tier of the stands, and I'm like 50 feet away from the court, but I can't actually see anybody or talk to anybody. So it's a very odd situation, but it's been pretty fun.
I'll get you out of here on this. Is there anybody, and you don't even have to name names, is there anybody who has come to you and said, I can't stand this anymore. I'm out of here. I cannot live like this. It's driving me insane.
No, not really. I mean, there's very few people who have been here as long as me and Dave have. I mean, the two of us have been here for like the same 50 days. And some of the people in the bubble have been here that long. You know, Adrian and Malika have been here 50, 60 days. Ben Golliver from the Washington Post has been down here for that long. I think everybody generally feels the same way that I do, that, you know, if you cover sports or you cover anything, you kind of want to be there and be part of it. Right. And this is obviously a very bizarre situation, but, you know, it's one that, you know, I feel like it's pretty neat to be part of, and, you know, hopefully I don't have to be part of again. So I'll enjoy it for the next 4 weeks. Well, I mean, I mean it. I hope there's not another pandemic and we can go back to having normal games. It would be nice. So, you know, I've got 4 more weeks from today is the max allotted stay, I think, depending on how the conference finals and finals go. So I can make it another 4 weeks, and then, you know, we'll wait and see when basketball comes back again.
Boy, I hope to God you're getting points from this hotel. I hope you're getting points. I fear that you're not. But I hope you are.
Right. I think that I'm not, but we will.
Yeah. Well, but I'm sure, listen, we work for a very, very nice company, and they'll send you a mouse ear thing or something like that. You know, they'll send you something. Thank you, Tim. Enjoy to the degree that you can. Tim Bontemps, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We will come back. Chuck Todd will join us to pick some games. Chuck was 3-4 last week, but, you know, not any. Well, Carville was 2-0, but Carville picks his own games. We pick Chuck's. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Vincero ad. We are partnering with Vincero Watches once again because you guys really seem to enjoy them as a sponsor. Making a statement doesn't have to cost a fortune. With Vincero, you can elevate your look for an affordable price. They believe you deserve to look good and feel good no matter your budget. So they're offering you, as a listener to this high-quality podcast, 15% off your entire order, and they're covering all shipping costs. You just visit VinceroWatches.com/Tony. Sports are back. NFL's back. Don't you want to be the best-looking guy at your tailgate party? People doing tailgate parties, really? Now's the time to pick out a timepiece to stand out from everyone else, especially since they just released 4 brand-new collections for men. Seriously, go check out their new collections. They have a new one called the Outrider that's been selling extremely fast. It's perfect for everyday wear. Do yourself a favor. Go pick out a timepiece from one of their new collections right now. Just remember to use the link VinceroWatches.com/Tony. I'm a watch guy. Michael, for a young man, is a watch guy. Not everybody is. I think watches are both fashionable and actually smart. You don't have to pull your phone out of your pocket to check the time. Just turn your wrist over. With Vincero, there's no brand name markup, no big-time price tags. Their promise to you is simple. Solid, well-made products you will enjoy wearing. These guys know just how important it is to shop from brands you can trust. Go shop from a brand you can trust with Vincero. Like we've been saying, these are timepieces you will enjoy wearing every single day. If you don't, Vincero will make it right. That is their promise. If you don't love it, they will make it right by you. Go shop Vincero. It's spelled V-I-N-C-E-R-O. VinceroWatches.com/Tony. Do not pay full price on these beautiful timepieces. Take advantage of this opportunity. And what do we say all the time? Use the code, people.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Again, this is Will Stamp. We played him earlier when he played Gone. This is called Vancouver. This is sent to us by his best friend, Colin Powers, who also writes to Michael. I just relocated to Utah and wanted to let you know that it's been very hot and dry here lately, so it's not raining. Michael, if people like Will Stamp or their best friends want to send in original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And you can listen to it, his two songs in their entirety at the end of the podcast. Chuck Todd joins us now. And as we said last week, this is really gambling because there's nothing in the world that you can base your picks on against the spreads in the first week of a season when there are no exhibition games and just no sense of what's going on. You went 3-4, which is, you know, it's okay. It's not great, but you could have gone 0-7. You certainly lost on the Washington football team, which you were proudly picking against.
I was, and I am happy that Aaron Rodgers made me. And not only that, so my Packer buddies and I, we've decided this is what happens when Aaron Rodgers doesn't date a famous woman. This is it, right? Get rid of that issue, and hey, suddenly.
I said on the PTI show that on Sunday evening he should have gone into Matt LaFleur's office and said, "I hate your guts. Trade me by 5 o'clock tomorrow and go play your boy Jordan Love." That's what he should have done because he was great. He was great.
They should have put up 60. I mean, you know, I was nervous in that game when it was 8-7. You're like, wait a minute. They've been down here three times and only got 8 points. This isn't good.
So the problem that we have this week is we don't want to overreact to last week because gauge. There won't, right?
If you don't overreact, what's the point of this segment? We have to overreact.
Okay. Well, if you want to put it that way. All right, let's start with these games. The L.A. Rams, and the L.A. Rams beat the very overrated Dallas Cowboys. They're always overrated. The L.A. Rams now go across the country to Philadelphia, which suffered probably the most stinging defeat of the entire week last week. And the L.A. Rams are getting 1.5. Who you got?
Talk about overreact. I'm all over the Rams. I'll overreact on that. I will say this. The Rams are going to be a team to bet on early, not late in the season. They have no depth because of all those superstars and all that they have. But they looked... They look like a well-coached team, and the Eagles don't have any people. I mean, in fairness to them, they should have put that game away against the football team. They didn't. Yeah. While I'll give the Eagles some latitude because of how many missing pieces they had, I have no idea why they're favored. That doesn't make any
Nor
sense.
Nor do I. But no, I just think they feel there's going to be market correction in all of these places. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I was a little, you know, I was curious to see how road teams would do in general, traveling out of the bubble, going to a different city. I mean, I'll be honest. I've gone to different cities just a couple of times during the pandemic. I've been nervous about it. I think about everything. I'm over worried. What am I touching? What am I seeing? What am I doing?
Right.
And I wondered if some of the out-of-town teams would, if that would – that would be a problem, but I didn't notice anything on that front.
All right. We have a division game, Carolina at Tampa Bay. Both teams lost. I don't think it was stunning that Tampa Bay lost. They're playing New Orleans, but I do think they probably have to win. I'll tell you what was stunning. Bruce Arians lit up Tom Brady. Said, I hope he shows more grit next week. Bruce Arians, how many Super Bowl rings do you have exactly that you can say this to Tom Brady? Carolina is getting 9. That is a big number at Tampa Bay. Who you got?
I love Carolina here. I think they're a good football team. I think that was a team. I watched a lot of that Carolina game. My red zone. I watch DirecTV. I know there's two different red zones. Red zone was on that game a lot because there was a lot of it was going back and forth. The Raiders and Carolina, and they're both entertaining teams. Those are fun teams to watch. Carolina looks pretty good. I think Bridgewater, McCaffrey, they shouldn't be losing by two scores to anybody. I don't buy that. And Tampa, where does Jameis Winston go to get his apology? Because Tom Brady looked like he was doing a Jameis Winston impersonation.
Well, he threw
a pick six. Yeah, I mean,
he threw two picks and a pick six. He's certainly on pace for 30-30. He's on pace.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So if Tom Brady is there in a Tampa uniform going 30-30, then is this a Bruce Arians issue or a Tampa Bay quarterback issue?
It may be a Bruce. Yeah, and I understand, but I think we got to go four games. I think we probably got to go four games and see.
Come on, it's overreaction week two. Let's go.
Atlanta is at Dallas. Dallas overrated. Jerry Jones will have a stroke if Dallas loses this game. Atlanta, which is a team that was relatively recently in the Super Bowl and has a very good quarterback and yet never wins anymore. They don't win anymore, but they put up points. Atlanta getting 4.5 at Dallas.
They didn't look good. I saw Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. There was a point Matt Ryan rolls out, and he got caught not by a super fast linebacker, but kind of some plodding defensive tackle. And I thought, Matt Ryan may be, he may be on the wrong side of the quarterback curve on that one. If Dallas loses this, McCarthy is job's on the line, is it not?
It probably is.
And one of the two is Atlanta. Atlanta might be one of the three or four worst teams of the league.
People will put up signs saying, bring back, who was the previous coach? Jason Garrett. Bring back Garrett. So you're going to take Dallas?
Give me Dallas. They have
to. Okay. Minnesota, which lost to Green Bay. Minnesota's getting 3 at Indianapolis. Indianapolis lost as well. I don't have a sense of these teams. I just, me personally, I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy. Minnesota plus 3 at Indy.
I'm going to go with Minnesota here. Simply, I'll take Zimmer over the Colts. But, it's interesting you say you don't have a feel yet. It's amazing how Phillip Rivers looks like Phillip Rivers no matter what uniform he's in. And I say this,
yes,
that's good and that's bad. Like, he somehow doesn't know how to close a game out. And that was all the time with the Chargers. All the time. They'd lead. You'd be like, the Chargers, man, they could beat anybody. Yeah, and they can lose to anybody.
That's true.
That's what the Colts, all of a sudden, Phillip Rivers' Colts team looked just like that. So
I agree with that. I like their coach. I like Frank Reich because I knew him when he was at Maryland. I like him. I don't know about that game. Baltimore is giving 7 at Houston. Baltimore looked great against Cleveland. We have no idea if Cleveland's any good. Houston was beaten by Kansas City. That was 10 or 11 days ago, so they've had a lot of time. Bill O'Brien is both the coach and the general manager. He traded away DeAndre Hopkins. But to be fair, David Johnson had a pretty good day. Baltimore minus 7. This will match up. Very exciting quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. Who you got? 7's a lot.
Well, minus 7, which means a lot of – this is a teaser candidate, right? This is one you would tease down to 1 point and match up with another team. I'm not going to get – after watching – talk about overreacting, Lamar Jackson looked like he wanted to win the MVP with his arm this time. It's like, watch me throw the ball as well as I run the ball. I'm not getting in the way of that juggernaut until they lose, until they don't cover.
You'll take Baltimore.
Mahomes last year, yep.
Lamar Jackson, by the way, at Louisville, when he won the Heisman Trophy, really was a good passer. Really was a good passer. So this should come as no real surprise. New England 1-0 with Cam Newton running it 15 times and New England running it 42 times. New England is at Seattle. I think this is the Monday night game. New England is getting 4. Russell Wilson looked great. Great. This is a tough game to pick.
It's a really tough game. This is a sneaky good game. This might be the most interesting game on the board. I'm very curious to see what New England's offense looks like in week 11 and week 12 after Cam Newton's taken his hits. Right.
Yep.
We've seen this Cam Newton show before in Carolina. It looks really good at times. And then the hits start to take a toll. Man, if there were fans, I'd be all over Seattle. Give me Give me New England early. Give me
really
still healthy.
Yeah, really,
I'm going to take that game only because we have no home field. I'm betting on the no home field.
Would I go the other way on this one? That's interesting. Okay, that's good. That's good. And now the team that you casually referred to as the football team, which makes me laugh every time.
Hail
I hear it.
To the football team. It just rolls off the top.
They're at Arizona, where DeAndre Hopkins landed. Arizona beat San Francisco. Arizona looked pretty good. Washington is getting 6.5 at Arizona. Are you going against them again for the second time?
I'm not, Kyler Murray, did you watch him at all?
Yeah.
It looks like, I'm going to really date myself. He looks like a guy in Tecmo Bowl. He just is sort of always running around, and he's always able to find open space.
He's good.
And you think, God, he can't see over the line, and yet he somehow, everything is there. I think it's going to be a good game. I have to say the football team has quite the defense. That's a legit defense. And watching Chase Kyler will be interesting. But I think Arizona's a sneaky. I'm on that bandwagon with the rest of the, you know, hey, they're the dark horse of the NFC. So I'm going to stand that bandwagon for a while.
Yeah, if Wilbon didn't talk about them all the time, I'd like them more. But it's just so sickening about Arizona and
Phoenix. Is he bandwagoning them? Is he really bandwagoning them?
He likes
even after Mitch like played the
no he fell in love again with Trubisky, you know, in the fourth quarter. But
of course
that's a love that is not going to last. It's not going to last the whole season.
By the way, our friend Bill Simmons brought up that as bad as 2020 was. At least the Jets, the Browns, stinking, you know, shows you that some things never change.
Continuity in life is important. That's a game, by the way, tomorrow night, the Battle of Ohio, Cleveland. And were you as impressed as I was with Joe Burrow?
I was. And even the bad little pitch, that was like
the shovel pass.
Shovel pass. You think you're Superman. You think you can make every play. It's good that happened to him in the first game. I think that will mean that he makes even fewer of those dumb errors the season goes on. He looked good to me. Is that kicker?
Me too.
How about that time delay on the kicker pulling his muscle? Oh, wait, did I miss the kick? Oh, now I must pull up limbs. That was...
Yeah, my calf really hurts. Oh, my calf. You shank a potamus, an easy kick. You were going to tie the game. You're going to keep going. Oh, that's terrible. All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Bye, guys. Thank you, Tony.
Chuck Todd, boys and girls. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that would be enough. But we give you more than Chuck Todd. We give you...
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching. Watching his iPad, smoking and laughing. Hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo.
Zoo, zoo, zoo.
Reginald's got the vibes. Sometimes he throws poo. He's had too much Johnny Walker.
All right. Where is Reginald these days? Where did you go to visit him, Nigel?
Well, I actually went down to the zoo, Mr. Tony, and he was not there. I was given instructions to Zoom conference him, so I Zoomed with him. Apparently, he flew out to Los Angeles to play Bel Air with Al Michaels. Now, they had a foursome set up.
It's Sampras Long.
John Malkovich and Bruce Dern, but now that Doc Rivers is out, I'm not sure, because one of those guys will be the odd man out, I'm sure.
Oh, that's so funny.
The monkey, sneaky good. He's a 3.
That's great.
Yeah, what does he hit off 10?
He was 1-2 last week. 1-2 last week. Who's he got this week?
So the first game we gave him was Philadelphia giving 1.5, hosting the Rams. And like you, I was sort of surprised by this, but Reginald showed me a photograph of him, Tug McGraw, Bobby Clark, and Harold Carmichael climbing Mount Kilimanjaro together. So he will take Philly and give the 1.5 in that match.
Let me just say this. If Philadelphia loses this game, it's going to be very uncomfortable for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. Very uncomfortable. And maybe for Doug Peterson, too. And he won a Super Bowl. All right, go ahead.
The next game we gave him was Seattle giving 4 at home against the Patriots. And this was a lovely little photograph he showed me of him, Jim Zorn, Steve Largent, and the X-Men, Xavier McDaniel, all playing croquet together. I'm not sure where that was, but clearly he's got ties to the Seattle area. And he will take
I would have done this too. I think that Pete Carroll is almost as good a defensive coach as Bill Belichick is. And I think that he will know how to defend Cam Newton. And I would have gone this way from Seattle. I know Chuck didn't. I'm with the monkey on this one. Go ahead.
The last game we gave him was the Washington football team.
Football team.
Yes,
we won at a Arizona lot more.
Football team. And this was a lovely little video he sent me of him, Richie Pettibone, Art Monk, and Jake, Joe Jacoby, all on paddle boats right in front of the Jefferson Memorial. You know,
so sweet. So sweet.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. Okay, we're good. We will take a break. When we return, we will have email and a jingle, and I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
That is Tim Wildsmith of Nashville. He's pro. That's really, really good. Nigel, you want to do the bagel ad for Bethesda Bagels?
Oh, yes. We love Bethesda Bagels. You will as well. Several locations in the D.C. area. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location nearest you. We go to the one at 4819 Bethesda Avenue, right there in Bethesda Row. They're open from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can go online, make your order. It's very easy. And as I said, the bagels are great. You love them.
Have they asked about me?
Yeah, they asked about Michael. You.
Yes, yeah,
Michael should go on Days We Don't Do the
I think
podcast.
I was blocking customers.
All right, that'll just about do it for us today. But before we get to the mailbag, let me just say that I could eat 50 eggs in an hour. If you don't know that reference, it's from Cool Hand Luke, a Paul Newman, George Kennedy movie. A great movie. Thanks to our guest today, Timmy Goodtimes, and Meet the Press host, Chuck Todd. And thanks as well to our sponsors today, Vincero and the Lincoln Financial Group. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Let me read some things. I messed up the other day on PTI, and I misquoted Liam Neeson in Taken. I had it wrong. It's either I have a particular skill set, or I have a set of particular skills, whatever it is. And Matthew Cole in San Antonio, Texas writes, I love Tony's rewrite of Liam Neeson's most famous line on PTI on Monday. As Liam Neeson said, I have a particular skill set. I look forward to Tony fixing other terrible copy, like Hamlet. Should I commit suicide? Don Corleone, I'm going to make him a terrific proposition. And Julius Caesar, what the hell, Brutus? Jeff Boyd in Pittsburgh, you've now completed the grand slam of electronic. I don't know how to do that competition. One, you don't know how computers work. Two, how electric toothbrushes can work without being plugged in. Three, how to program your DVR. And now, incredibly, four, you don't know what streaming is or how to do it. Really? Are you not aware of how everyone listens to you talk on your podcast? Have you ever listened to your show? I've never listened to it. Never, never once. My guess is that you haven't, unless Michael or Nigel plays it for you. Still, I admire how you've refined your life down to one single skill, talking. That's it. That's your life. Fortunately, we don't need you to do anything else. From Justin Johnson in Arlington, Virginia, I have a few random thoughts to write in with. One, very excited about the Caps hire of Peter Laviolette. He makes great halftime adjustments, from what I understand. Two, if the season ends now due to COVID, does the team, Washington football team, win the NFC East? And three, ever since Monday's show, I can't stop saying Jennings Heisner was a great kid, a great kid. I got that one wrong, didn't
I? Hate that kid.
You know, I got it wrong. Oh, I just popped out my earpiece. From Jeff in Kansas City, Missouri, it's hard to tear up when both my sons, 8 and 10, cheer, let's go football team, during Washington highlights. It's great. Let's go tube socks, he writes. From Shad, a haiku for that team. The reports of their ineptitude are greatly exaggerated. From Rabbi Reuven Spolter in Israel, I was on a recent Zoom call from Israel to Cleveland, Ohio, with an educator about a possible online learning project. After exchanging pleasantries and making introductions, she said to me, before we begin, my husband asked me to tell you lechizari. I returned the greeting and we moved on to business. All I could think of was, even in a pandemic, the connective tissue of the show continues. Shana Tova and a good year and a great year of health to you all. From Reuven Spolter and Yad Binyamin in Israel. And it is, Rosh Hashanah starts, I think, Thursday night, Friday night? Yep. Happy New Year, everybody. From Marvin Simkowitz. I listened to your description in Friday's podcast about travails of parking in the garage in the building where your doctor's office is located. Like you, I'm old. Like you, I have physicians located in the building across Wisconsin Avenue from Saks and in the Barlow building just down the street. Like you, I detest that garage. Here's a suggestion for the future. Park your car in the large lot across the street attached to the many high-end stores there. That lot is completely outdoors. Yeah, it is. Has more generously drawn parking spaces and is much less expensive than a building garage. Parking in that lot and then crossing the street to your doctor's office only adds a couple of minutes to the total trip. I'm not much of a sports fan, but I enjoy the podcast nevertheless for the banter. Keep up the good work. From Greer Henderson. Dear Ron, I have no interest in the license plate game, but I happened to see a Georgia one the other day I thought you might appreciate. And it's on a Hyundai Sonata, and it is from Fulton County in Georgia, and it is Bootsy. B-O-O-T-S-I. There's no E at the end. I hand it to Michael. Matt Murphy in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I went for a walk on the beautiful beach at Sullivan's Island, South Carolina, where I have been, after watching the Bills beat the Jets on Sunday. It was a wonderful evening. There was a beautiful sunset, and the water was 84 degrees, perfect for an evening dip. On the way home, we were crossing the bridge in between Sullivan's Island and the Isle of Palms, and I believe that's where Susan O'Malley has a house, over Breach Inlet. There were two police cars with their lights stopped on the bridge. As we drove past, I was shocked to see that the man whom the police had stopped had on a Chatter t-shirt. Before I could roll down the window and give a TK salute or offer a lechizery in support, we were on the other side of the bridge. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage asked why I had a smirk on my face. I said the guy who the police were stopped, he had a Chatter t-shirt on. She had no idea what Chatter was, so I tried to explain to her further, you know, Tony Kornheiser's failed restaurant, hoping for the best for the guy in the Chatter t-shirt, and thanks for all the laughs.
But how did it fit?
You need to tell us how it fit him and what he looked like. Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. Tony, I see you've got the guys who buy plain white t-shirts in bulk and the remainder bin demographic all sewed up. That should help you sell to upscale advertisers. Corey Corbett in Timonium, Maryland. 7 days of Wilbon. On Monday, he admires Trubisky and never misses Olin Krutz. On Tuesday, he is not surprised by anything sports-related. On Wednesday, he makes outlandish claims. On Thursday, he contradicts Wednesday. On Friday, he drops a Wilbon staple. On Saturday, he watches multitude of televisions. And on Sunday, he tweets. David Davis from Paoli, the birthplace of Cy Young. What state is Paoli? Is that Illinois? Is that Wisconsin? Where's Cy Young from? Nigel, look that up. Relative to the certainly-to-be-controversial direction of clothes hangers issues, when Sergeant Joe Friday and Officer Bill Gannon were investigating a gang of fur coat thieves, Sergeant Friday advised some clueless fur coat store owner to always hang each coat with the hangers pointing in opposite directions so as to slow down a gang of fur coat criminals by forcing them to take the coats down one rack. This is spelled wrong. It says cost. Forcing them to take the coats down off the rack one at a time. This would work equally well for t-shirts you like Johnny O Quarter Zips or your 1% fur coat collection. Just the facts. P.S. According to Wikipedia, Jack Webb was approached to play the role of Vernon Wormer, Dean of Faber College in Animal House, but he turned it down saying, quote, the movie doesn't make any damn sense. That's fantastic. Do we know what Cy Young's birthplace is?
Paoli, Ohio. It's in Ohio. And it P-E-O-L- says, yeah, it's... Yeah, the final resting place of baseball legend Cy Young.
Tremendous. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it? Where's the hammer?
Stop it.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
So great.
Stuck in a rut, and the answer it came when you made my heart sink in mine. God, shine in your eyes as you try not to cry. I beg for a reason, 'cause I still can't figure out why. When you've had enough, luck. And I struggle convincing my legs that they gotta stand up. And I'm gone, gone, hoping you're gone. I'll see you again. Was it best? You made your request. Should I be grateful the pain keeps me up, clutching under my breast? Lost for words. Your shirt. Will this cold desperation push me to escape from this hurt? And I'm gone, gone, don't know how long. And the only thing I'll see you again. And despite your assurance that I'll be okay in the end, I'm pained by those same words of wisdom from well-meaning friends. I'm running away. Or else I just sit in the shadow of your life drain away. So I'm gone. I'll see you again. I'm gone, gone, don't know how long. And the only thing I'm banking on is I'll see you again. Stay as clear.
From catching glimpses of you at the core.